Fox4Radio.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. About Nashville and all the records that everybody's buying. Says I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots.
Justin, welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips. I don't know if we had a hiccup there or not, but I just want to welcome you to the show. It's going to be a fun evening. Tonight, before we get started, I just want to very quickly say thank you so much to our sponsors, TobeAccountable.com, Trinity Wellness, Trace Rios Trophy Buckles, the Ambassador Program, and B&B Builders and Remodeling. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here, so we appreciate you week after week, making sure that we're able to bring this to our audience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. She's Gone Country with Becky, for those of you that are just tuning in tonight, maybe for the first time, is a platform that we are using to elevate and empower everyday cowboys and cowgirls that love God and love country. And the hopes of that is to encourage and inspire those that don't. That way we could possibly bridge the gap that may be out there right now with the fast age of technology and the industrialized way that we are living today and just bridge that gap so we can keep the heart of the American cowboy alive. So that's where She's Gone Country with Becky came from. It's very special and close to my heart. And with me tonight, I have my two co-hosts. As always, I have my beautiful aunt, Vicki. Are you there with us tonight?
I am, Becky. Good evening, everyone.
Oh, nice to hear your voice. And we are welcoming back our guest host who has been on an extended, much-needed vacation, visiting with her family down under. She's finally making it back, and bless her heart, she's en route from California to Texas, and I think she's somewhere in the middle. But we want to welcome back Donna Lynn Quintana to the show. Donna Lynn, are you there?
Hi, girls. Yes, I am. I'm on the continent. I cried halfway across the Pacific, but I'm fine. I'm good. I'm glad to be with all you guys.
Well, happy to be solid ground.
Well, tonight, if you are tuning in, there's just a couple different ways. So those that are listening or maybe aren't really sure or listened to one and missed another broadcast, you have three different ways you can listen to us. You can call in and listen to us live at 347-857-37. And if you have questions for our weekly guest, you can always just push one and go into the host queue, and our producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will introduce herself and let us know that you're on the line so we can bring you on the air. If you are listening via the Internet, or if that's how you choose to listen to it, there are laptop, tablet, all those techie little devices, smartphones that are out there. You can simply just go to blogtalkradio.com/4radio, that's F-O-R-E, radio, and you can look us up under 4radio, She's Gone Country with Becky, and you'll see the red boot. Click that, it'll open it up and start the live broadcast that way. And, of course, we're archived, so you can always go to our newly designed and thank you, Star Myers, website at shesgonecountry.us. That's shesgonecountry.us, and you can go under the radio show link, and you can listen to any of the archives there. So that's how you can hear us, and there you have it. So going forward, we have a very special guest on the show tonight. It goes way, way back. He's more family than he is anything else to us, and but he has definitely got a name for himself in the rodeo industry. He is definitely the voice of rodeo. He has been rodeo announcing for, well, I'll let him introduce himself and tell him, the audience, how long he's been. He may not want to tell everybody stuff, but he is like a dad to me, and I love him to pieces. Randy Corley, 11-time announcer of the year at the PRCA. Randy, are you there?
I am here, Beck. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long day. Work. We got about 5 inches of snow up here yesterday. So,
you know, and down here in Glendale, Arizona, not a flake fell.
Yeah, that's where all them snowbirds go when the snow's flying up here. But yeah. I guess it's going to fly and we're going to get 5 inches of it. Yesterday was a great day because we spent that 5 hours yesterday while it downpoured snow watching RFD TV's The American. So that was pretty cool.
Boy, that got a lot of, that got a lot of talk. And what about Richie Champion? I don't know. Maybe we don't have a lot of listeners that watched it. And then there's controversy. But I got to tell you something. Randy Bernard and that whole crew did an outstanding job. Whether you're PRCA, whether you're PBR, whether you're whatever, we're all involved in the same Western lifestyle. And in my hats off, I tip my resistol to what they did, and I'm so tickled for Richie Champion. There's not a greater young kid in the game, and he was eligible to win the million. He won the million plus the 100,000. So that makes him a pretty rich guy today.
Wow. You know what, Randy? I bet he didn't show back up in school this morning, huh?
I just gotta believe. But you know, he is such a great guy that it wouldn't have surprised me that he was right on time for class.
Well, how old is he? How old is he?
Oh, he's old enough to vote barely, I think, but I couldn't even swear to that.
I think he's 21.
I think that's what he is. And he's probably the happiest 21-year-old in the United States today.
And I'm to discover he's got a whole lot more girls that have his number memorized. But, Randy, this is Vicki, and I, like you, thought, you know, the American was a first-class act. It was a great day for cowboys and cowgirls from all walks of the Western way of life.
Absolutely, it is. Hey, can I just say it's like I'm talking to my niece and to my sister and one of my great friends in Donna Lynn. This, for me, is like a dream come true tonight to get to be on the phone with three beautiful ladies. And
thank you. Well, Randy, this is Becky. And as we get going into the show, I would, if you would, now I know you posted on my Facebook page, you hate writing bios and you don't like talking about
it. You know
yourself.
You're going to put me on the spot and you know what that's going to do, don't you?
not a big spot. I'm just gonna say we have a lot of listeners that kind of tune in. We are a worldwide platform, so people can listen to us from all over the world and throughout the U.S. So there's people that will log on and check out the show and see what it's all about. So I always ask my guests to just give a quick little overview of who you are, so our audiences know who they're talking to.
Okay, I was. I was a virtual nobody 38 years ago, and I still am. But I got so blessed to go to a rodeo in Caldwell, Idaho, which at that time, the Caldwell Night Rodeo was not very big. They hired me to announce it, and I was just getting started. The stock contractor was the same Christensen Brothers Rodeo Company from the West Coast, a home based out of the state of Oregon. And I just had the good fortune of five-night rodeo, and about three times a night I got my butt chewed by Bobby Christensen Jr. For not talking enough, for not, you know, not saying enough about his animals. And we really formed a really good friendship. And we got done. I'm sure by the end of 5 days that he wouldn't even talk to me. And he came up, and this is in August, and he said, hey, he said, look, I've got a deal in Portland, Oregon at the Pacific International coming up in November. He said, Bob Tallman announces this. You know, he said, our announcer is Bob Tallman, but he can't be there for the first 2 days. So I'd like to have you come and do it. Well, you know, you're going to go do anything. So I think he paid me $200 a night to come out there. You know, I bought my own plane ticket. I did everything. And we stayed at the Red Lion on Jansen Beach. The room was $250 a night. I bought my own room. So I lost, if I didn't count any other expenses, I lost $100 in room alone. And then Tallman showed up the middle of the second performance. And he comes up and he said, hey, I'm going to talk him into keeping you a couple of more days. We'll work it together. And, you know, it'll be a good deal for you. So I lost another $100 in the next 2 nights. And not counting meals or anything. Bob came up after and he said, I talked to Bobby and Bob Thane and they want to keep you for all 10. So now, you know, I'm going down a lot of money before this deal is over. But when it got all done, Bobby came up and he said, Randy, I want to hire you for some rodeos out here in the Northwest and the West Coast. And and things happened. I wound up with Puyallup, Washington, still go there today. Wound up with Bremerton, the Kitsap County Fair and Stampede. I rock. My first ever rodeo in California. We loaded up in a red van and drove down. What was that?
Oh, that would be Fort Knox. Right ahead.
That would have been Fort Knox.
Fort Knox.
And we take off down I-5, and he books me. The only rodeo that took was Springville, California. And we tried every one of them, let me tell you that. It could have been the hours that we were calling them that might have heard. But anyway, Springville took, I still go to Springville. You know, I mean, I needed that rodeo back then a lot more than they needed me. And they're just great people to be around. Did I lose you?
Nope, you're still here. You're still Randy, I got to ask you.
Yep.
Talk, Dad, I believe, is listening. He told me today that he was going to try and tune in online. I asked him, or I told him he could go ahead and call in. So, Dad, if you are listening and you want to call in, 347-857-3760. But he and Nancy are listening, and, you know, he had to give me a few little nuggets, you know, for the show.
Oh, did he? Did he?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's baiting the trap, you know. I thought that you nuggets to myself.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, bless his heart, he had, you know, I almost think, I love you, Dad, but he got a little choked up. You guys are pretty tight and you know, closer than a brother, and he loves you like a brother. And he told me, he said, I think I met Randy at the convention in Denver. And he came and he told me. What?
Oh, yeah. You know what? He's absolutely right. I met him before I went to Caldwell.
Yeah, he said you came up and you introduced yourself, said you're going to be at Caldwell. And he said, yeah, well, okay, well, we'll see you there. And, or we'll see you when you get there. And he said, well, tell you what, he said he knew after the first perf that you were a top notch and that you were going to go far and you're going to be one of the best. And he said, he was pretty adamant about that. So that's the first thing he told me. He's like, I knew after the first time I heard him announce.
He never told me that after the first time.
Well, you know, those Christians, they hold out on the secret.
They don't let the ace in the hole out of the bag.
Well, and thank you, Randy. You probably weren't a Raider fan back then either, were you?
No, I was. I've never been. I was really against the Raiders then. Seahawks. That was a real wedge between Brother Bobby and myself, is that I have been a Seahawks fan forever. And in case anybody's listening, the Seahawks are the world champions.
Hey, one Seahawks fan to another. Your sister here is a Seahawks fan too. Right,
yeah,
on Seahawks.
I know it.
And then, of course, I converted. So, you know, after you had to.
Look at your location.
Well, after they lost the Gruden Bowl, I had no choice. I couldn't take the heat anymore. I had to get out of the kitchen. So
yeah.
But I was going to say,
what else did Brother Bobby let on about me?
Oh, so he told me. It's just funny. This just shows me how connected you two are. He tells me, he says, just so you know, Randy's first rodeo in California was in Springville. He said, so he said that was his first California rodeo. And he said, Randy called me up as he was heading to California. He said, is there anything I should bring?
I can remember what he told me.
Is it age appropriate?
Is it what?
Is it appropriate to stay on the air?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the things he told me, I didn't know what to bring out there. I said, what do I need to bring? And he said, put your six guns on and just show up.
Oh, goodness.
It's a 36-year career in the business, Randy.
He was a real springboard. I've had, I've been so lucky in my life. My first, steering John Drew in this business would have been Jim Ivory. Because I lived in Cody, Wyoming, and I had to cut a commercial for a business I had. And Jim goes, you know, you ought to announce rodeos. You sound pretty good on the radio. And, of course, you know, like any idiot, I took that to heart because it did involve a lot of work. But I went to broadcast school, and then Bill Smith hired me to do a nightly rodeo in North Platte, Nebraska. And it was while I was there, Michelle, who is now my wife, Michelle was running barrels. You know, and I didn't think much of her, but she had a nice horse. That's okay. That was a joke. You can laugh.
Okay, Michelle, where is Michelle? She's listening. You're probably in trouble, Randy.
That's the fun We're in the studio. I don't allow her in the studio. Actually, we're in the bus. I'm in the back bedroom. But,
hey, Randy, this is Donna Lynn.
Huh?
Randy, this is Donna Lynn. Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm driving to Las Vegas, and I'm going 70 miles an hour, and these sports cars are passing me like I'm standing still.
Yeah,
and it's a little nerve-wracking. So, I'm just telling you guys, I'm being a little quiet because it's like more traffic than I realize. So I'm just having so much fun because this is like when we get people like you on here, it's like we're family, and I love it. It just is. It's always a great conversation, and we love you, Randy. So,
Donovan, don't you know that our business, and like Becky and like Vicky. And even yourself, we've known each other quite a while, and they're just—they are family to me. But we're all that have been involved in this so close to being kin. That
I know.
Just,
oh, it was a couple months ago on She's Gone Country that when you come to the NFR, it's like a family reunion and a high school reunion all together. But you come down, you know, out of the elevator from the South Point and go down past that restaurant, and I always say it's like, you know, walking down Main Street of your hometown.
Yeah, it
is.
Is. You're right.
It is. Yeah, it is. It really
you know?
Is. It makes you feel very old, too.
I mean, yeah, because there's a lot of young ones that you don't know.
I know. And quickly, I've got to concentrate before I kill myself here. But I thank you so much, Randy. Randy Corley did some amazing job at the John Fontana Memorial Bull Riding Bladewater, and I just appreciate it. And I got a lump in my throat, and it was very, very special. So thank you so much, Randy.
Oh, Donna Lynn, thank you. And I just talked to them today, and we have second annual, and I think they're going to title it still, you know, the John Quintana Memorial.
Oh, they are. See, I didn't know that. That's great.
That's what they told
you
me.
You know what?
Come back.
That's great. Hats off to Don Graham and Donnie Gay for pushing that through quickly so that it was going to happen last year, you know. That was
great. pretty quick after we lost him that they got that together. But what a great place to do it where he rode, you know, the greatest drive probably ever in V61.
Yep, it was great. And you did such an amazing job. We love. Thank you so much. Appreciate it so much. And I got to tell you, too, when I saw you at Deadwood, I now have a favorite. Those committee people at Deadwood are great people.
Yes, they are, you know.
Yep.
They keep winning Rodeo of the Year, and they don't fit my schedule the best, but they're the kind of people that fit me, so I'll make sure they fit my schedule.
That's great. Okay.
Randy, this is Becky, and I'm going to, I'm Donna Lynn, Vicki, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to keep on talking to Uncle Randy.
Okay. How long are we on break?
Probably about 2 minutes. I'll bring us back on.
Okay.
RF4Radio.com.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and we are just so glad that you're tuning in tonight, because it is a special hour for the four of us that are here tonight. Well, five, Maria is getting to chime in and hear all of us family and country bumpkins talk here. So I'm sure my producer is just getting a kick out of this. But we are visiting. I have with me my co-host, Vicki Christensen, and my guest co-host, Donna Lynn Quintana. And our special guest this evening is 11-time Announcer of the Year. And, heck, if it was my state, he'd probably have it every year. I've known him just because he was always a mentor to me, and that is Randy Corley. Randy, are you there? Did you come back?
I'm here. I'm still here. Hey, you never told him that you're like my co-announcer at rodeos, Becky.
You know, I was your little protege, wasn't I?
Yes. You used to come and work slack. Now, you know, I don't work slack, so... But in those days, your father saw to it that I worked slack.
It's just so unfair.
I know that would be hard for you to believe that he would convince me I should do that. But
okay, well, hold the phone. Okay, just a minute. I got a treat. I'm excited. Listeners, callers, this will be fun. Let's bring out, we have, my dad is on the line. He called in. I'm so excited. Bobby, are you there?
Yes, and tell Randy that all Raider fans work the slack.
Hey, what have the Raiders done for us lately?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Corley. You made so much money that first year, gals, I had to haul him to Bremerton when he got that rodeo in my livestock truck so he could get there.
And let me tell you this, on that trip, that's how much money I made, by the way. Yeah, I had to bum a ride in a stock truck. On that trip, I had never been over the Cabbage Patch. For non-listeners, that's coming over the Blues and dropping down into Pendleton, Oregon. And it's like a 6.5%
grade. Because you said you didn't want to drive with it off.
And I'm in the sleeper with a cap on. And Bobby said, hold on, this is pretty tough going down this hill. And I look out, and I crawled up in the passenger side. And I got my cap off, and I reached up and got my hat on, and he said, what are you doing? I said, if I'm dying, I'm dying in a cowboy hat.
That's a true story.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Hi, Brother Bobby.
Thanks, Bob.
I just saying hi to Brother Bobby.
Well,
he sounds
Randy.
Good.
I'm just fine. Good to hear you. Good to hear you on the air, and interesting. Listen to all them wild tales you're telling.
Well, but you know the fun part is they are true tales, and I forgot.
I don't know if you read my note the other day, but I told you that our escapades down I-5 are classified.
That's right. I saw that, and I mentioned that we took a trip down I-5 and called the rodeos. That's all I said.
That's my brother.
Well,
I guess
Bobby,
I did say the time of day we called them might have had to do with a lot of them not wanting me.
Yeah, and then remember we got hired double at two rodeos at the same time, and it took us a week to figure it out.
Yeah, it did. In fact, it was Roseburg.
Yes, sir.
Hired me, and then a couple days later I had to tell Bobby that I said, I can't go to Roseburg. It's on top of my hometown, North Platte, Nebraska.
That was a late night call.
Yeah, I said quite a. I took a pretty good tail chewing over that.
Did you end up? Go ahead,
Sorry, Randy, Bobby. Hey, Bobby, it's Sis. Randy, I was speaking with Randy before we went on the air just briefly, but Bobby, remember this. I told him I remember a flight
from Malin Sweet Airport in Eugene, Oregon, to San Jose, California, for the Firefighters Rodeo. We're really dating ourselves now, but it was, you know, back when the Blues Brothers were really a hot commodity, and I remember you and Brother Randy asking the flight attendant if she could serve up some orange whips.
Yeah, one orange whip, two orange
whips. Do I even want to know what that
no,
is?
No, brother.
That came from the Blues Brothers, and that's what they ordered. That's what they ordered at the bar. Yeah. We were drinking healthy.
We were on air, Cal, and we promised some tickets to the rodeo if we could have them scarves to wear. Remember that, brother?
I remember you riding out in the arena when I introduced you in an Air Cal scarf. That's what I remember.
And I just remember being the little sis that was trying to get you both there to San Jose safely and keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, I think that was probably a fact. And you did a good job there.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
We got there safe, but I don't know if you kept us out of trouble or not.
No. Man.
Well, that was a tall order for anyone to follow through, but you know, you were there safe, you know. And Randy, just visiting with you, you know, and like you said, the rodeo family, and we're all so close, and how wonderful it is to, you know, to be on, you know, on air tonight. But I have a question, and I know this will go back to Michelle, but your mentor in the announcing business, who was that?
It would be her dad, Hadley Barrett, the Hall of Fame rodeo announcer. And you know, and we mentioned Tallman a while ago. Bob Tallman was always great to me, always. But Hadley Barrett was the one, and he didn't. You know what's funny? Hadley never took me aside and said, here, you need to say something this way, or you need to say it this way. What he did is taught me the things that you needed to know behind the scenes, where you could go to the print shop and find your day sheet. You could do your homework, you know. That way you kept the stock contractors from hollering at you because you did homework on their livestock and that type of stuff ahead of time. But those are, you know, and I say that in jest with Brother Bobby listening, but those are things that are awful important. And that's just one of them. There's 100 things that he taught me that way that really matter. So Hadley Barrett would be, without a doubt, at the top of that list.
Well, Hadley Barrett is one classy, good-hearted gentleman. Yeah. And you learn from the best, Randy.
Yeah, and then, you know, and here's another deal. And I told you, Michelle was running barrels when I first met her. And Hadley had three children, two daughters and a son. And the younger daughter was married. And the older boy was married, and Hadley did quite a bit for me, and he needed somebody to marry the one remaining child, so I owed him some favors, and so that's now, you know, that's how that goes.
Michelle, there might be a little bit different story than that, but if you want to go with that, we can.
She's in the other room, thankfully.
You know, girls, that Randy announced a rodeo that never was.
Which one was that?
Red Steer, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Red Steer, Oregon. Red Steer.
Well, it was, here's what happened. We're in Puyallup, where Pete introduced me. Pete was mad because Bobby got me hired there. So Pete introduced me as horseback as rodeo's own Paul Revere. And that's all he'd say. Yeah. So. And I was riding a horse called Springville Wowie, which was an ex-bucking horse.
They
blew a bomb off, and I landed in the middle of the arena, still in the saddle, so everything was good. But we were there. I'd been to the PI down in Portland, and somebody was up who won one of the events the year before at Portland, and I was going to use that as, you know, a credential. Might have been, you know, John Scolari or somebody. I don't know. But anyway. I tried to come up with Portland, Oregon, and it slipped my mind. But I did remember Red Steer. The Red Steer was a little bar that was right off of the rodeo grounds. And we went there every night and, you know, had hamburgers.
And lemonade, right? Right.
We did have hamburgers, I'm telling you. But, I said something about, you know, at a rodeo last November in Red Steer, Oregon. And your dad started spitting and puking off his horse laughing. And Judy Ackley, bless her heart, she was screaming from up in the timer's booth and the secretary's stand. And I think Linda was there. She was laughing. Yeah, it was quite funny. All I can remember was Red Steer.
Well, Randy, this is Becky, and I guess, you know, since you've seen so much change over the years from when you first came on the scene to now, is it still as close-knit out there as it was back then? I mean, because I know how much it was for us.
No, it's not, Becky, and that's a sad thing. I mean, we still have a lot of great things. There's a young bull rider right now, Sage Kimsey.
Mm-hmm. Ted's son.
He's leading the world. He just won San Antonio, and he won the Extreme Bulls. That's Ted Kimsey's son.
Yep.
And thankfully, through those situations and other guys, you know, like Casey Field, and I knew his dad so well and watched him come up. But that tells you how old I'm getting. But I got to see Ted, came to San Antonio. You know, so you remember some of the fun times we had. We had Ted come out to the Northwest to some of the CB rodeos.
Yep,
and,
I remember him.
But you spent a lot more time with one company, it seemed like, and it was a family situation almost. And the practical jokes, they were everywhere. And that's what made it fun.
Yeah, you know, and Randy, that's true. I know that's what I remember most, you know, the fun, the laughs, and it really was a family thing, you know. But, Randy, what one thing, just taking you back to yesteryear or yesterday, one thing that, you know, that stands out in your memory, but first, share with us how many rodeos you work a year. And we know you just finished up with San Antone at the stock show here in Texas. Where are you headed next after you walk to Silverdale from Glendale when the shell kicks you out? But anyway, go ahead and tell us.
We came through here. My youngest daughter, you know, Rochelle and I to have kids, and we'll go into that story in a minute. I'll finish your question. Because that story has to do with the Christensen brothers, too. But our youngest daughter is just finishing her second year. She's going to be a dentist. And she's here at dental school in Glendale. Came into Arizona. We've got a little place here at the old folks' home, which is a real nice RV and golf resort. And at the gym, I really look good down here, I'm telling you.
Well, wait. But are you
I walked in, and you ought to see the ladies turn their heads.
Oh, my gosh. You're back on the air cow flight again.
Yeah. J.C. Trujillo, he's come down a couple of times, and him and Margo and Shell and I have gone out to supper or gone to a ball game. He tells everybody how ridiculous it is, you know, how old everybody is here. How I do look really good here, but he said, you know, hey, the next person to me is 20 years older. So, but anyway, I go to about 26 rodeos, I think, 22, 26. It differs. And, you know, the size difference is like from San Antonio or the Calgary Stampede to Springville, California, Hill City, Kansas. But it's never been to me how big, money-wise. The fact that little community in Springville or Hill City, they've got great people and they come out to watch a rodeo and they deserve, you know, the very best you can give them from the microphone, just like the people that the bigger rodeos do. So, you know, the nice thing about Springville is, man, there's not a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of pressure in the others. But it's nice to get to go to those. They're great rodeos, and you can take a breath while you're at them. As far as where we're headed, We're going to stay here for 3 weeks. I don't have anything. I always kept spring open because the kids were playing sports at home. So now we have these 3 weeks. I'll go to a bull riding at the Yavi Crossing south of Laughlin, Nevada, towards the end of the month. And then I've got to tell you something I'm pretty tickled about, is I do have the finest wife in the world, and she's put up with a lot of crap. Can we say that word?
You can say that word.
Okay. Now, she's put up with a lot of stuff over the years, and our faith is real strong. We both went and got baptized. We have been as children, both of us, but we went and reaffirmed our faith, and everything is really nice. And we're just blessed to get to do what we do. And for 30 years, we've been married. And the 1st of April, we are boarding a plane in Seattle where the world champion football team lives. We're boarding a plane, and we're going to spend 17 days in Italy.
Oh, wow. How neat.
We've never done anything like it and probably won't again. You know, you don't know, but if everything works out, that's our plan. We've got it all planned out, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that is so awesome, Randy. I'm so excited for you guys, and I think it's great that you both together reaffirmed your faith, and there's nothing more important than that foundation. So we're going to take a quick break and just a couple of short minutes, and when we come back, we'll keep talking with Randy Corbin.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
I think we're back. This is Becky, and this is She's Gone Country with Becky. And we're spending the hour visiting with a dear friend of our families, and he's like a brother.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving a legacy of goodwill. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving a legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Sorry about that, Becky. I guess Western Wishes didn't want to. It was waiting there, and it needed to come on. So I apologize, and here we are back with Becky.
Welcome back, and that is my most wonderful producer, Maria DiGiovanni, who sits behind the scenes and welcomes all of our callers and runs the keyboard and the sound and the music and keeps us all together and cohesive. So, Maria, I understand it happens. Thank you very much, though, for always being here for me. We've been visiting and spend the last 45 minutes with a dear friend of our families, and he's like a brother to my dad. And I don't know if my dad's still on the air or not, but if he are you still there, Dad?
Yes, babe, I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. So we're visiting with Randy.
I almost called you baby cakes.
What?
I almost called you baby cakes. So I just had to stop there, you know.
Oh, great. It's out there now.
Yeah, there you go.
That's okay. I'll take the endearing term. I'll take it.
you bet. That's my daughter.
So, Randy, you know, I was really excited to have you on because, you know, like I'd asked you previously, and before I go that far, if there are any other callers that do want to chime in, please press 1 and go into the host queue. Maria will let me know you're on the air. You're welcome to call in. We take all kinds of callers, so we like to have listeners come in and pipe in and join in on the conversation. So, but I was talking to Randy before break. We all were, and he was just sharing with us he's going to Italy with his wife. Now, tell us about your children. How many children do you have?
Well, I've got two. I had a previous marriage. I've got two daughters, Cassie and Amanda. Cassie is just doing wonderful. I've got two granddaughters by her. One of them is 16, and one of them is 11, and both of them very active in 4-H and stuff, and they live up around Cody, Wyoming. Amanda, who is the second oldest, secretaries rodeos, and she timed a lot. She's timed the finals a couple of times, but she's secretaries now. Has gotten started and doing a lot. In fact, she does Salinas, the California rodeo, and she's doing real good with that. And she just got married a couple of years ago, so now I have another granddaughter. And she is just 17 months old, little Riley Bean. And she's just cuter than a button. But I get to see her, you know, Amanda Time San Antonio, and so did Michelle. It's like the Corley welfare line down there in old San Antonio. But, but they're awful good to us. And the nice thing is I get to spend time. Michelle's with me all the time, but we get to see Amanda and the baby. And that's the thing. I've got a son, Cole, and another daughter, Brittany. Brittany's here going to a dental school. And Cole is going on his sixth year. He's 25. He works at Lockheed Martin on the Bangor sub-base right up above Silverdale, Washington. He's got a wonderful job. I'm very thankful for him. And he has also started a little DJ business on the sideline. So he's doing some dances around the country. The biggest nightclub north of Seattle called him last week and tried him out a week ago Sunday night and wanted to hire him for some weekends. So he's doing real good with that. And I try to impress upon him that his job is a lot more important. My gosh, he made a lot of money last year, and he gets all of his benefits. I said, I know the disc jockey deal's fun, but, man, I said, don't leave that job. Leave it. Give it 30 years and then leave it.
Well, he couldn't have gotten any desire or anything to announce or DJ or anything from his dad or anything.
Or his granddad. I think it's kind of in his blood. I know it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, here I still to this day I can't figure out what it was, why I felt I needed to announce.
You know what, buddy Becky, and you might remember this. Right after Michelle and I got married, well, I'll bet you Vicky remembers it. We came down hunting because you were at the ranch, Vic. And I was given a gun. I was a big joke, you know. I was given a gun that didn't have a firing pin on it.
Oh, my gosh, Rand. I'd forgotten all about that. Oh, wow. Well,
and, you know, Michelle and I have been trying to have a baby. And I get a call that, you know, the timing was kind of right during deer hunting season. And I think Brother Bobby, I think Gary Hempstead, I had 8 or 10 guys that offered to fly back to Nebraska and take care of it for me, you know. They were pretty sure I wasn't capable of getting it done. They, you know, everything I fired was blanks out there.
They didn't cut you any slack, did they?
Oh, no. I will go down in history, not whining. I've been very lucky. A lot of nice awards, you know, and like I always say, when I meet God at on Judgment Day, I know those awards will mean absolutely nothing. But I've been real blessed to have gotten all of those awards. But I will go down most of all as the most picked on announcer in radio. There's no doubt. Not whining. I'm not whining.
Oh, God. Well, Randy, that, you know, this is Vicki, and hey, that leads me to another question. I know when you, you know, you sent your short bio, you said, remember, you talk for a living, you don't write. But,
yeah.
You know, here's the deal. Here in Texas, you know, right now this time slot is up against The Voice. So, you know, Becky and I are just wondering, what can you bring to the table? Let's hear your song, and we'll see if anyone turns their chair around.
Well, evidently not a lot, because I just went out and talked to my wife on the last break. I said, you ought to come listen. She goes, The Voice is on. So I don't guess I've turned her chair around lately.
Well, that's because, you know, Blake Shelton's probably commanding her attention.
Well, you know, and there's Blake Shelton and then there's me. Now, what would impress her the most?
I am not commenting.
No, seriously, I doubt if Blake Shelton's ever, you know, announced Red Steer, Oregon. I mean, come on, Ray.
I'll bet he doesn't even know where Red Steer, Oregon is.
Well, that's
if it makes you feel any better, Randy, I do remember, you know, I'll come to your rescue for a minute. I do remember, and I don't know why it sticks out in my memory so much, but I don't even remember which rodeo it was at. I just remember there was a rodeo Dad was pick-upping at, and I don't know if it was bull riding, I don't remember if it was saddle bronc riding, but I remember watching through the fence, and he went to pick up a cowboy. It had to have been saddle bronc or bareback. Why would he be at the... Anyway, long story short, he forgot to cinch up his saddle.
Yeah.
And I remember he went head over feet, right, and his saddle, whoop, right off, right in front of the arena. And so, you know, you may have steer in, but he's had his fall, too.
Yeah. I know he's had his, you know, I wasn't there for one of your dad's great moments, but I'm sure it was over a cocktail. And in the early days, I know we were guilty of that, but it was in Pendleton, Oregon, and him boasting that he could ride the mugging horse, the one they mugged down out in the middle of the grass, and you got to get on and ride him. They pull his blind off, and you got to crawl over the pickup man to get on him and stuff. And I remember, is your dad still on? Bobby?
He's here.
Yeah, I remember him telling me the longest walk he ever made in his life was sweating a little of the drink the night before out across that grass to crawl over the pickup man because he had boasted he could do it, and the cowboys all saw to it that he was the one that got to do it the next day. He said that was the longest, hottest walk he ever made in his life. Is to crawl
and
over
I was
and get
packing a bronc saddle along with it, believe it or not.
So I'm betting you cinched that one up a little better, if nothing else.
Oh, goodness. Donalyn, are you still there?
You know what? I am. I'm sitting in the parking lot of the South Point.
Hey. I
yeah,
like that place.
Thought,
you know that?
Yeah, I know it. I just thought 9 months from today, practically, you are going to be living here, Randy.
It'll be home sweet home again.
Yes,
yep.
Again. Yep. I'm just getting here. So I'm just enjoying this. I'm just enjoying. And I wanted to say hi to Bobby because I haven't seen Bobby in, I bet you, 25 years.
It's been a long time, Donalyn. It's good to hear from you.
How long do you think it's been?
Oh, heck, it couldn't have been 5 or 6 years, gal. We're still young.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I wish we had time. I'd tell you, hey, Bobby, do you remember when we were, and Ashley, Sherry, and Vicki, they were all like almost infants. What's the age difference between you and Vicki?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure.
9 years.
Then you weren't born, but do you remember at Puyallup, Washington, we rodeo brats were on the television show, and they had Dana Acreage, Debbie Stout, you, and me, and Cher, and Linda. Do you remember that?
Gosh almighty, I'm going to have to kind of plug my computer in and see if they can bring it up, Donalyn.
Well, the reason
Donalyn,
why
I got a great... It's just short anymore.
Well, no, you know what? No, no. The reason why is because my mom always told me about this, that I don't know if I've got enough time to say it, but it was so funny that and during the commercial breaks, they gave us, we were at this table, and they were interviewing, like, rodeo brats. They were all, it was kids from rodeo. And so they gave us some clay to play with. And so when they came back from the station, you know, identification, Dana Acreage was the guy that was interviewing was kneeling down to the little, you know, kiddie table, and he's saying, "Oh, we're back, you know, we're back with all these little rodeo kids," and you see this sport coat being tugged on to the right, and you hear Dana Acreage going, "Mister, Mister," and so camera goes to her. And then he puts the microphone up to her, and she goes, because we're supposed to make animals with the clay to be quiet. And she goes, "Look at the butt on that frog." And it was on TV, and my mom told me that, and they were so embarrassed, you know, because in those days, to say that on television was, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. So you don't remember that story?
Well, sort of, yeah. I have to think about that a little bit. I remember, you know, Donalyn, I remember you and your mother coming to the PI, when it was the big in the old building and stuff a lot. We'd see you guys.
Yep, I know it. And then go ahead, you guys. We're talking. I can't believe it's been
47
years.
Donalyn, I appreciate all of it, and I, you know, I just wish we had more time. But gosh, we look at that. It's 6:56. We got about, gosh, I want to say 2 minutes left with this group here to visit and chat. And so, I love all you guys. I appreciate all you guys. Randy, what do you got for us?
I think this group could talk for another hour. Don't you want to just run it on?
Oh. I wish we could, but we got a show following right behind us, so we're gonna have to do a take two. So just be prepared for my text.
What a wonderful way to pull up some memories that mean so much. And again, Brother Bobby, you know, I'm always quick to tell anybody in any place, any time, how much you and the Christensen Brothers Rodeo did for me, and you know, your uncle Hank probably told me one thing that stuck with me more than anything, and I've lived by it, is I stop at every gate at every rodeo and say hello to the gate man.
Yes, sir.
He said he's a little man on the committee now, but he'll be the president one day, and he's going to remember.
I want to thank everybody. Brother, it's been great visiting with you, and Becky and Vicki and Dahlin and your producer, and really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye, Bobby. We got about 20 seconds to go,
Randy.
Thank you all so much for having me on and for everybody that listened.
Thank you so much, Randy. Aunt Vicki, I'm going to turn over to you and let you close it on out. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Randy, Bobby, Donalyn, Becky, Maria. Love you all. Thank you so much. We're going to close out with a little cowgirl logic from Crystal Lyons.
I was about 5 or 6 at the time, and Dad had all the hogs rounded up and pinned at the barn so he could notch their ears and clip the tushes. I'd badly wanted to come, and Dad told me that I could get up in the hayloft right above where he was working and stay put. I had a great view to watch from there, but was I satisfied? No, I wanted to help. Well, unbeknownst to Dad, I slipped out of the hayloft, was out in the barnyard making my way around the back of the barn when all of a sudden the meanest sow that we had headed straight for me. I was screaming, but Dad couldn't hear me over the squealing of the pigs. There was nothing else to do but run for Dad as fast as my little legs could carry me, and that sow was right on my rear, woofing all the way. Dad saw us, grabbed up a board, and headed toward me. I jumped up in his arms and kept climbing till I was perched on his shoulders. I was so scared that I peed all over my dad. Well, is there a point to this story? The way I figure it is, God is our Heavenly Father, has set boundaries for us to live by. And those boundaries are oftentimes looked upon as being there just to take away our freedom. But that's a misconception. God's boundaries are there for our life, health, peace, and safety. But just like I did back then, most of us got to slip across that line sometime or another in an attempt to get our way. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a worse situation even than having a hog on our hiney. Well, what's the answer? Same. Run to the Father, calling out the name of Jesus. He'll save you. Don't worry about cleaning yourself up before you come. You don't have time, and you can't. And just like my daddy didn't throw me away because I peed all over him, neither will Jesus cast you aside in all your mess. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic.
ForRadio.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, everyone. This is Becky Ryan. I'm here with Women on the Edge with my awesome co-host, Maria DiGiovanni. Maria, are you out there in California while I'm sitting here in the darkness of Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, but we're in the darkness in California.
Oh, it is dark out there. Is it dark, really? By 7?
Yeah, but it's 7 o'clock. Ah. We are still in dark. We go dark at about 5 o'clock now. It's getting later now. So about 6 o'clock.
Well, I kind of wanted to start recapping because other than you having all this sun and rain, usually sun, only one day of rain, how many days did you get rain last week?
We got probably, I would say, a good 2 days full. I mean, if you add it all the time together, you know, because there was a little bit here, a lot here, kind of a lot here and a little bit here. Yeah, 2 days. I would say 2 days of complete good-sized rain for California.
But usually Georgia only gets 2, maybe 3 days of snow, and we end up having like 2 weeks of it. So it's just strange weather everywhere. You're in a drought. We're getting buckets of snow like it's the Midwest. We had an awesome last Friday, and today there were some things trending, and I wanted to kind of back up and remind our listeners that we had Matthew Codwell on, and he's with Higher Ascent, and we were talking about stress and how he takes groups of people, especially those that are in law enforcement, teens, vets, military. He takes anybody up to these mountains to help them come to terms with post-traumatic stress disorder. And right now, what's trending is the Vietnam vets. There's going to be a class action lawsuit that was launched today. Vets who were with Vietnam, who had never been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, who definitely had it, and due to them showing symptoms, they were released of that they were discharged under other than honorable conditions. which meant since Vietnam ended and they were released, they have never received one benefit. And apparently this has been fought. Go on.
No,
go
ahead.
Did you say something, Maria?
No, it's actually
well, apparently this has been... Well, apparently it had been fought several times in the past, but now they had brought it up to Congress. They had brought it up to the White House. They had brought it in different ways, organizations trying to get money. And at the end of the day, they ended up grabbing some vet programs. And they gathered together, and they figured that there's tens of thousands of less than honorably discharged due to the fact that they had post-traumatic stress disorder, and they are suing the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And they even are asking for money in the rears, the cost of them having this on, I guess you can't say it's the credit, but if they pull it up, anytime you go in for a job, it shows that you have issues with the military. Every single application I've ever seen always says, have you ever served in the military? And then the next question was, were you honorably or dishonorably discharged?
That's bad.
And they ended up having these tens of thousands of guys unable to get full employment. So we're going to be looking into that, and I'm hoping that this Friday we're going to talk to Matthew some more and maybe lead with this as the news is coming through. Stress is going all over. I can't imagine what it's like to be a Ukrainian today.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
Why don't you share? Share with, well, with what training, because here's the thing. I haven't watched anything except for that one little thing that I posted today,
which
and
is phenomenal.
What I saw last Friday. So what is going on? Tell the world.
Well, tell the world. Well, right now, at this exact moment, apparently through Twitter and Facebook and now Fox, saying that there's 16,000 troops of Russians, troops, not people, not just individual Russians, 16,000 Russian soldiers, troops, are on their way to the Ukraine. And
are you... And what is the world doing? I need to know, what is the world doing about this? Not just the United States, but the whole world. Is everybody just sitting around watching?
Well, let's think about it. So far, there's really only three world powers. Four. We have Russia. We have China. We have the USA. And I'm going to put quotes around it, kind of shaky. And then we have Europe. And Europe has said, we'll see what anybody else wants to do, because they're in a crisis themselves, descending troops.
Right.
We don't
have any
troops to
send. Do we have troops to even send?
Do we have troops? Yes. We have, I believe, close to 2 million. No, sorry,
Ten.
We don't. I know for a fact that China has 200 million.
Oh, wow.
Active military folks. So my number on the U.S. is about to change. We're about to go back to in the 200,000s from last week when Obama, the White House, issued that we are going to downsize drastically to the 1928s. And if you recall, we were a much smaller country then. We were very poor. We were in the Depression. And we're going to downsize a lot of the Facebook and Twitter saying, well, what he's really doing is cutting the cost, because we're spending somewhere around $600 billion on our military. But actually, he's cutting jobs.
Exactly.
And the jobs were not that much. Some of the military stuff, they said, well, you know, one drone can take care of, you know, a full troop. But these are family. These are people that are going to be coming back. And apparently how it's been laid out, and many news reports are coming out about this, until the White House outright says it, it's basically a lottery. So some of the sons and daughters that have just
recently gone in, such as mine, may end up getting a pink slip saying, sorry, we don't need you anymore. There are going to be people, and we already know of a couple that have served 3 times who've received their pink slip, and they are the head of household. And one of them, they had an article, the wife ended up saying, I have basically been on standstill for 12 years, looking forward to the benefits and so thankful that we have the money. And though daddy's been gone, he's taking care of us and our country. And the biggest thank you of all is he can no longer have his job. And now he'll be standing in line.
Yeah, no
kidding. The unemployment.
This is just terrible. This is not okay. I just don't understand why anybody else thinks that this is okay.
Well, you had posted something I briefly just saw right before getting on. I loved it. It was about Sarah Palin. And for a listener, she was a presidential candidate. She was going to be going for, like, VP. And
well,
up against
I would first
Obama.
Like to say, I would first like to say she was actually the governor of Alaska. I get upset with some people think because of Sarah Palin that you have to kind of know what you're doing to become governor of a state, don't you, Becky?
Well, there are movies, and you can even go on Netflix and look up Sarah Palin and how the media had bashed her, made up stuff, to the point that there is conspiracy theorists out there showing the tapes of Sarah Palin making a speech or where she was, and the media totally distorting it and how
mm-hmm.
they were attacking her. There's videos on YouTube, so you can go and see this, to the point that it would be really kind of easy to see these tapes and question America's media and if they're
mm-hmm.
being bought or paid off. And though they're supposed to be independents, and right now all you hear is my opinion here, you know, but when we're watching Fox, we believe that they're trying to be independent, and that's the journalism that they're portraying. Here, we like to debate things. We like to throw things out there. There's trending items. There's probably more newsworthy items, but we're talking about what people are searching for, and we're kind of like the Family Feud of Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be surprised. We're here to do that. But Sarah Palin in 2008 said if what Obama does by pulling out troops, by cutting the military, we're not going to have jobs, we're going to be in more of a crisis, and Russia is going to go after the Ukraine. Quote, unquote, Russia will go get the Ukraine and go into
Ukraine.
That's what he's doing.
When did she say that? I want to know exactly. When did she say that?
2008.
I love that so much.
Well,
I
there's another thing out there.
Cool.
That if people go and look, there was a movie called 2016, Obama's America. And I'm going to say that again, 2016, Obama's America. It's a documentary on one man, the old Obama. And many people are saying it was prophetic because in 2010 he wrote a book about it. He followed Obama. He tried to find out more about him. He even traveled to Africa. He went on over to all of the places that he's been. He really was fascinated with Mr. Obama. And the beginning of it's more about why, because he was an immigrant from India. And he says, you know, it'd be wonderful to have Obama as president. By the time he finished the documentary and writing his book, he was petrified with Obama. And you kind of go through the stages and what he has presented with the socialism, how the health care would end up causing the poor to even be poor, the richer to still be richer. And so many backers of Obama believe that he's out there to help them, but the African American families are even less than they have ever been. There was a boost, they said, during the first 6 months to a year of Obama being in. Now they're even lower than they've ever been. It's shocking. And I'm going to go back to the Ukraine. What's trending right now is oil prices. And
okay.
This is something that has been trending for 2 years about oil in America. Like, why can't we dig? Why can't we use our own resources? Why are we buying foreign oil? And even when Bush went into Iraq, people were like, why are we all the way in Iraq when we have enough oil in the United States? Can we just start drilling? And the answer from the White House was no. Sarah Palin came in, and she opened up a lot of Alaska and produced a whole bunch of jobs. She ended up creating an economy up there. She ended up flipping Alaska around to the point that they were one of the poorest. Now they're one of the wealthier. They're above the type. There's not as many people in Alaska to compare with Canada and different places. But she had changed quite a few things. To go back to the oil, Russia needs the Ukraine to get its oil out. And they have been paying checks every single month, every single year, to making sure that this pipeline was going through.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of the middleman.
Yep.
Now, with them getting rid of the middleman, and they take over the country, and if we back up just a little bit more, why the Ukraine kicked out their president was their president wasn't trying to set up a contract with the EU, which is what the Ukrainians, the majority of the Ukrainians, wanted. He was about to go back to Russia and set it up. And basically a revolt happened. And it got uglier and uglier and uglier, and here we are today. Russia grabbed the Ukraine again, and they're sending 16,000 troops. Not just 16,000 men. I mean, that would be scary enough. That's a full-blown, we're taking it over. And they are, Russia has said, look, we've already taken over part of the Ukraine within 3 days. When the Ukraine asked, you know, we've got to stop this. He's probably saying, we're sending 16,000 troops. We're taking the rest of this. Here's the catch. In the U.S., people like Herman Cain, who had posted the Sarah Palin video, has said, watch out, our gas prices are going to go through the roof because Mr. Obama will not allow the U.S. to drill more oil or open up jobs. He refuses. And he's refused and he's refused. We've had many of the nightly news documents, documentary, let me think of Bill Riley. I'm trying to think of which one. I think he's Fox, isn't he? Do you know who Bill Riley is?
No, I don't have TV. Remember?
He was on when the Olympics were going on. So anyway, he asked Obama outright, are you going to allow us to do the oil? He said, well, it's really hard for me to look at my kids and say, yes, I'm going to go ahead and allow oil to be dug up through the ground and possibly cause an environmental problem. Okay. However, we have so many people starving. Our country is going to crud. And the majority of the jobs, half of all the jobs that are new, are strictly in areas Obama has been against. Where he said there'd be jobs, they're on part-time jobs, they're at the unemployment line, or they're no longer getting benefits because he's cut it up. Well, Russia already has done $1 a barrel as of today. We'll be seeing it in our fuel. We're going to be seeing it in our flights. We're going to see it in transportation cost. And they're projecting that if we go with what Russia may end up needing for the money to keep these soldiers in the Ukraine to possibly foresee the cost it's going to be as a burden to Russia, which would be another dollar by May for every gallon you go to the gas station for.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I see it happening. So.
And how much is the gas out there?
About, well, you know what? I'm going to say about $4.25 a gallon.
So you're about a dollar more than we are in
yeah.
Georgia. So $5.25 by May. That is going to cause more problems in the United States, Europe, Australia, Japan, all over the place. Because we won't go and start drilling. And when it comes down to it, they brought up a very interesting fact. We only have a couple resources. We have some farmland, which is being devastated through the storms. We have hub cities, such as New York, Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, where you have buildings that are corporations that people come in with suits, and they have satellite businesses sprinkled throughout the globe, like maybe a Walmart, maybe it's a stock exchange, maybe it's insurance. But we do not have anything that we are exporting.
Nope.
We have these hub cities, which could be facades, and can crash. And one thing that we do have as a natural resource here is oil. And right now the conditions are saying that Obama needs to go and change this. News reports are saying that maybe the Lakota, and it's the Lakotas Republic, may end up standing up. And for those that don't know about it, North Dakota, South Dakota, some of Nebraska and Wyoming, the Indian reservations are saying, hey, we want our country back. We want to pull away from the United States. And we have the right to, because he sent us here.
Yep, they do.
And if that goes through, we might have like a donut. It'll be Canada, then the United States,
yeah.
And in the middle, the wealthiest hub. So
yeah.
The funny thing is, I just was Googling some of the jobs in the North Dakota area. Right now, to be a cashier at Walmart in Williston, North Dakota, you could see about $50,000 to $60,000.
Wow.
Yes. Pack your bags, everybody, and coats. Let's go. Out here in Georgia, it's quite cold. I don't know how much the difference is, but you look at something like that, and it makes you wonder what is going on.
But then again,
if Obama had pushed it, we'd have 400,000 jobs.
What's in North Dakota, though?
Oil. Not only some oil. It's projected that we have more oil than all of Saudi Arabia. It is the richest oil find, period. And it might even be bigger than this.
And who owns it?
Bigger than Saudi Arabia. It would be under the United States and the individual landowners. However, I am told that there's two types of land. One is land above where the grass is and the building and basically your basement. That's the land you can own. The government can actually come in and drill below it. And somebody else can own a level below, like a basement, and that requires a different land ownership. And right now, the Indians own parts of it. That's why we're drilling. And it's creating and generating billions of dollars in the Dakotas every year since 2010. If all of the land was released, there would be about 400,000 jobs in the next 4 years in those areas. Every type of job, not just the oil jobs, but the jobs to even support the oil people coming in. So it truly is an oil boom, like the gold rush of way back when. So it's kind of interesting. It's in the Black Hills. So we need to look at this.
Calamity Jane.
Pardon?
We could all go and be Calamity Jane.
Seriously.
But
yeah. Just, the world is really changing, and I'm just thinking, I understand about the environment. So we invest in trying to do this fracking, busting to get down to the oil with all of the water that needs to come in, and we need to purify the water. We have companies that would be more than willing to start doing that kind of stuff. But we have a president that says no. And in this economy, why can't we crack some of it? Why aren't we opening up the Alaska pipeline more than it is? Right now, they basically say we're trickling it. So we have the potential to get back on our feet. Russia outright has made its money from drilling their ground and getting into their oil reserves. Other than that, they're pretty much broke. And that's why they said our oil will drastically go up, because for them to support their troops, they don't have other commodities. Who wants to go out to Siberia?
Right.
But, you know, there isn't a lot of tourism. It's still an expensive destination. Yes, they definitely had the Olympics, so we have some areas to go to right off the Black Sea. But they're still a little bit isolated for different forms of revenue. They're going for their oil. And what Sarah Palin is saying is they get the Ukraine. They got rid of the middleman. And these people are going to be suppressed. I can't imagine what those people are going through.
Here is, you know, interesting how they've criticized this woman. They put her down, but she has the wisdom and the knowledge and the practical experience to understand what's happening. That's probably why she could predict what was happening, besides what you and I both believe is called discernment. So,
yes.
Or prophesying over a situation. So I just find it very interesting that she's in the position that she's in. And I am hoping that the media doesn't continue to butcher her. How are they with her right now? Because I really, I'm so far removed.
It is growing with conspiracy theorists, which tend to be under 28. So they are the new, they are the voters. They're the ones that were not happy. They are the Tea Party guys. She is a Republican, but she's probably going forth to these younger kids, college kids, who want the world to change. And they're looking at her. They're the ones researching this. They're the ones talking about it. They're the ones on Facebook and Twitter. I did want to go and mention that right now. Obama had basically said to Putin, don't do anything or you're going to look really bad. No, granted, I'm summarizing, but basically that's what he said. Russia, if you take over the Ukraine, you know, the world's going to see you in a bad light. That was the threat. That's the final threat that Obama issued. And people are right now, the Obama supporters are going, maybe Putin didn't read Obama perfectly. Okay, even if he did, what would it matter? And get this, Israel said, Obama, you want us to negotiate? You want us to negotiate land? You want us to negotiate military weapons? Because you're telling us that you are talking to Iran and they're going to listen to you?
You have 1 minute.
And Obama said, yes, I promise. And they will have repercussions if they disobey. Netanyahu out. We are not changing. Now, what is that saying about the U.S.? We're cutting our military. We made some threats. And the threats earlier were, Russia, don't be going towards the Ukraine, or you'll have us to pay for. The next letter comes out, you know, basically, you're going to look really bad to the world. oh my gosh, everything that Sarah Palin in the video is on Women on the Edge, mm-hmm. it's outrageous. 2008, she outright said this.
Well, again, I think we should blast that. I think we should continue to blast that, and that will definitely give her some elevation that she rightly deserves, obviously.
You want to know an odd thing that was trending on Sunday? Very odd.
Yeah, but we've got to close
The last one. Obama has only been to church 6 times. He's been to more mosque in his presidency than he has been to church. 6 times.
Wow.
And he has gone to several different churches, not even the same one, and we do not have a church, a presidential church. First time ever. And a president that doesn't go to church on Christmas even. Interesting, isn't it?
No, it makes perfect sense now, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense.
Well, I'm just leaving it there. People, please go ahead and research it. Research his brother. And we have one more thing. We have just deported a family of 8 because they had come from Germany. They believed in homeschooling for religion, and they were deported. Yet his uncle, who had DUIs and arrests, was here illegally, was issued a green card in December. So I don't know why we keep the illegals, lawbreakers, but yet we're going to deport a family of 8 because they believe in homeschooling. So we're going to be here Friday. It's going to be an awesome Friday. We're going to be talking about post-traumatic stress disorder and the solutions. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are trending, such as our vets and a major lawsuit that's going through. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody Friday morning for me.
Friday morning, and we could change the time to 9 a.m. if you would like to do that.
Well, we won't do it. We'll talk about that after this, and we'll let you guys know.
We'll see you
Friday.
Either way, we're going to see you Friday at 10 o'clock here right on 4 Radio with Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Becky, thank you so much for choosing 4 Radio to elevate and empower your dreams, and we will see you on Friday.